So welcome, everybody, to the Money Breakthrough Virtual Intensive Day. I am so excited that you're here, and I am thrilled that you're taking the time to work on yourself. And I really want to talk a little bit about why I created this day and what it means for you and what it means for me. I created this day because, you know, the name of the company is Revenue Breakthrough. And what I'm finding, you know, I found over, I've been teaching this for about 2.5 years now, and when this particular program for about 2.5 years. And what I'm finding is that people leave the program knowing how to do marketing and knowing how to make money in their business, but they don't know how to manage their money. They don't know what to actually do with the money. And in a lot of cases, they're being held back with the level that they make money at because they have some sort of subconscious beliefs or unconscious beliefs that are getting in the way of them being able to make money. So what I've decided is that when the people that go through Revenue Breakthrough, I want you to have both sets of skills. I want you to be able to know how to run your business, know how to set up your foundation to do your marketing, your networking, and your, you know, build your presence online so that you can get clients both in person and online. And I also want you to feel really confident around money and as a business owner in terms of making decisions about what you're going to spend your money on, what you're not going to spend your money on, and what kind of beliefs are running you around money. You're going to find that the stuff that I'm teaching you today, you will use over and over and over again as you grow your business. So if, you know, some of you might remember that on the orientation call, we talked about the voices at your table, right? Well, a lot of the voices at your table are voices that pertain to your business and will keep you making a certain amount of money if you're not careful about working with those voices. Now, here's what happens and has happened to me is every time you make a leap in your business, so let's say, you know, right now most of you are trying to get to $5,000 or $6,000 a month, right? And then some of you are at $5,000 or $6,000 a month and you're trying to get to $7,000 or $8,000. And then some of you are at the $7,000 to $8,000 a month mark and you're trying to get beyond that to $10,000 or $12,000, right? Now, every time you are trying to make a money leap, you're going to find that you need to work on your money beliefs all over again because a new set of voices are going to appear at your table that are holding you back. It's like they emerge every time you hit a zone that's not comfortable for you. So I encourage you to do all of these exercises with me now, to voice whatever concerns you have, to tell me what's going on for you, and so that you can get into the habit of doing this for yourself. And just for the record, in terms of the way I practice it, I do the money exercises and the money stuff for myself probably every 6 months to 12 months. I'll go through all of these exercises again, and I will especially go through them again if I find myself at a sticking point where I'm not moving past a certain level in my income, because what I have learned first and foremost is that it starts internally and then goes externally. So if you're struggling filling a program or if you're struggling making money over a certain point, once you've learned the basics, right, so, for, you know, some of it is skill sets, right, and we're going to learn skill set over the course of the next 6 months. But once you've learned the skill sets you need, then you need to start working on the internal process more, and that's what we're going to be doing a lot of today. And I also wanted to share with you guys my personal story around money. And some of you know this because some of the people in this group have known me for years. And some of you haven't known me for years, so I feel like it's important to let you know, how I've done this. So when I left corporate, I left L'Oreal Paris, I actually did not prepare myself to start a business. So I don't recommend that you guys do this, but just so you know where I was at, I just didn't fit into L'Oreal. I was super unhappy there in terms of not being passionate, just knowing that that wasn't what I was supposed to be doing with my life. So I left out of L'Oreal and started my business, and this was after I had been in nutrition school. Well, I didn't have a savings, right? And I thought, oh, I'll just, you know, build this company quickly so that I can get a move on, you know, and support myself. And I really struggled, right? For the first 3 to 4 months that I was starting Ideal Balance, I was pulling my hair out because I was trying to live a lifestyle in New York City, right, where my rent at that point was $2,200 a month. And build a business at the same time. And I don't, you know, looking back on it, if anybody comes to me in this day and age, I don't recommend that people do that. I always recommend that you have some source of income coming in or supporting you, whether it be a partner that's supporting you or a family member that gives you a loan or a part-time job or whatnot while you're starting to get really serious about your business, because you can't build it overnight. So what I did is about 3 months after trying to make this happen faster than I knew I could, I went back and I got a part-time job as a marketing consultant for Nickelodeon. And that was the money that I used during my whole 4th year of Ideal Balance to be able to support myself while I built the business. And then by the end of the 1st year, I had filled 2 groups, had about 20 clients, was ready to go full-time with it. And I then leapt into full-time work during full-time Ideal Balance from there on out. There have also been periods throughout the course of the last 6 years of me running Ideal Balance and me running Revenue Breakthrough where I did go back and get other work. So let me give you an example of that. About 4 years into running Ideal Balance, I realized that I needed to shift the business model of Ideal Balance because I was working way too hard. I was making good money, but I was burning myself out, and I could see that I wasn't going to have a future. So I actually took a step back, finished up with the clients that I had, but I didn't do a lot of marketing and sales to refill the practice because I needed that space and time to rebuild the business. And during that summer is when I picked up a teaching job. So that's when I actually started teaching as a business professor. To support my ability to restructure Ideal Balance. That was a period where I needed a source of income. And the reason I tell you this story is I want you guys to understand, for me, I just feel like a lot of people aren't very truthful about what it takes to run a business, right? A lot of business coaches will tell you that they jumped right out and they had immediate success and they never had to get money from other places. And honestly, I think what that makes people who are starting feel like is that you're not enough. But you are. You're doing great exactly where you are. And if some of you feel like I need other sources of income or I need to get a job right now, please don't feel like that's a failure. If you need to get a loan from somebody to help you out right now, that is the way it works until you sort of get on your feet and start, you know, pulling in enough clients to be able to support yourself. So just to finish that story, I did rebuild Ideal Balance at that point. I launched it to 3 divisions, hired other coaches to work with me, and again, got back to the point where I was running full-time with Ideal Balance. So it just goes to show that, you know, another part of the story that I want to tell you about my own money situation is when I left out of L'Oreal Paris to start Ideal Balance, I had, I believe, $17,000 in debt, right, on credit cards. And all of it was mainly because I just wasn't paying attention. I was in my corporate job at L'Oreal Paris putting money on the credit card that I didn't really know, you know, I just wasn't managing my money well. And then by that $17,000 in debt also was money that I put on the credit cards as I was starting Ideal Balance because I personally didn't have another source of income. Like, I wasn't depending on anyone or anything. So the couple months that I was looking for the corporate job, I put a lot on my credit card. And what that forced me to do is by the 2nd or 3rd year that I was in, I think it was the middle of the second year, I started studying money, literally studying money. I read probably 7 or 8 books on money. I formed, actually with Kyra, who's in this class with us, we formed a group called KLM, which was our money. It was pretty much a group where we studied money together. And over the course of the next 2.5 years, I paid off that debt and then created 6 figures in savings. Right. So I that's kind of the foundation of where I learned so much of the stuff that I'm going to teach you guys today, is just really in my own life learning how to manage it. And what's very interesting is that the more confident that I got about managing my money personally, the better my business did, right? Because I got it. Like, fundamentally, as a business owner, knowing your money, knowing your numbers, knowing what to spend on, knowing what to not spend on, knowing what is expensive and what is not expensive, will fundamentally prepare you to be able to make the right decisions in your business. And it just allows you to stand tall and walk proud when you're talking about business. And that's what I want to teach you today. It's what I want to show you. But I also want to give you the caveat that this is just the beginning. And some of you are going to look at this stuff and you're going to be like, Monica, you're opening up cans of worms that I don't want to look at, that I don't want to see. Some of you are going to look at this and think, oh, gosh, like, it's going to take me the next month or 3 months in order to organize all this stuff. And I just want to, you know, tell you that take your time with this. Let it settle in as it settles in. Use your buddies in the Revenue Breakthrough Program to discuss this stuff with. And know that, you know, when I look at my own story, it took me about 2 years to really learn about money and to get really clear about what I needed, what I didn't need it, how to manage it, what to do with it. And frankly, it's a hobby of mine, like, still to this day. I love learning about money energetically. I love learning about money in terms of real world stuff, like how to invest it, what to do with it. So it's kind of a lifelong process, but getting a start is what we're going to do today. So right now you guys are on lecture mode, and I just want to start the day off with going through, I'm going to go ahead and put you on interactive mode. So if there is noise in your background, can you go ahead and mute yourself right now before I put you in interactive? And what you want to do to mute yourself is press *6. So go ahead and press *6 if you're noisy here. And then what I would like to do is just go down the list. There's about 8 of you on the call right now, and I want you to tell me what you'd like to get out of this Money Breakthrough Day for yourself. And if you could just be short and sweet, we've got a lot of content, that would be awesome. Okay, so we're in interactive mode right now, and I know there's a couple people that have called in so I'm just going ahead and call names just because I think that'll be easier. So Doris, what would you like to get out of today?
I think a lot of learning and clarity on what I should offer and how much it should be, and clear out some of my issues with money. I'm looking at some of the exercises, like growing up and what did the parents teach you and things like that. So I know that some of that is probably affecting me.
Great. Good, Doris. We're definitely going to do that. And Sue, what would you like to get out of today?
Hey, I would like to just learn how to manage my money a little bit better. As you know, I am an avoider, and I at times like sit down and take a look at my money, and then at times I just kind of let it go. And like you said, I just at some point in your life, I kind of spend money and don't look at the credit card statements until it's time to pay the bill, and I'm like, oh, wait. So I just want to be kind of like aware of, oh, is this a good value? Should I spend my money on this? Is this expensive? Like, just be more aware of how I'm spending my money and how I'm
Great.
Making my money.
Very good, Sue. And this class, Sue, for you, just because I know you, it's going to blow your mind. So I'm really excited. You were one of the people I thought, gosh, you know, she's really going to like the Money Breakthrough Day. So good.
Yay.
So good,
okay,
good.
Thank you.
Kate, what are you expecting to get out of today?
I really want to learn about the energetics of money, because I feel like that's something that I really am interested in, and I feel like that part of me could definitely shift.
Great. Good, Kate. You are another one of the people that I think is really going to join us as well. Great, because I've been working with Kate one-on-one, so I know where she is with it. And I'm really proud of you, Kate. You've come a long way, and this is going to help you go even further. Great. Good. Kai.
Well, I'm definitely an avoider just like Sue, but I've gotten better. So, Sue, there is hope for you, believe me. I know I need to get more organized with knowing how much income comes in, just knowing more about my money so then I have a lot more power and I just feel more confident in going out and getting more business.
Great. Good. And, you know, and for the record, all of you, you should probably have pen and paper because as you're talking, you know, it was really hard for me to make that handout. Like, it's 25 pages long, and I'm not even kidding when I say it could have been 50, right, mm-hmm. because there's so much that I know about money, and I really had to, like, pick and choose the things that I thought would be most interesting because I know you all love me, but, you know, 2 days of money might have overwhelmed you. I'm going to throw in stuff, right, that may not be part of the sheet, but that I just want you guys to know. So just know that as we're going through this. And everything's being recorded, so if you miss something and you need to go back, you'll be able to do it. The reason I'm doing this over the phone versus doing it on a video is because I know that when I started learning about money, I would go for walks, and I would listen to recordings like this and classes like this. And it was really helpful for me to hear it over and over again. And so I wanted to be able to give you guys that option so you didn't have to sit in front of your computer, that you could take this stuff with you. And I also knew that many of you weren't going to be able to stay the whole day or that some of you weren't going to make any of the day. So I wanted to make sure it was easy for people to be able to listen to it later on. Let's keep going. Larkin? I'm assuming that's you.
Yes. Sorry.
Okay.
I had to unmute my own phone here.
Yeah.
Yay. Let's see. Well, I just want to, as has already been said by some people, really just increase my awareness because I think that's going to be the key to transforming my ideas and use of money. And then hopefully along the way today make some breakthroughs through that awareness as well because this is some information that I probably wouldn't have good access to somewhere else, so it's a good opportunity for that today.
Yeah, awesome. Good, Larkin. And, you know, and Larkin, I know you're a studier, and I believe there's a couple other folks on here who are, like, information gatherers. So
mm-hmm.
if you guys remind me at the end, I will – if you remind me at the end, I'll give you, like, some of the sources that were helpful for me. But I also – most of the stuff that I've collected is, like, the best of. But if you want more, I'm happy to give it to you as well.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks for summarizing.
Leslie, I think you just came on, but we're just going over what you want to get out of the Money Breakthrough Day. You may be muted, Leslie. If you are, either press *6 or *7. I'm not sure. I think *6 mute and *7 unmute. Okay, we'll come back to you. Leslie's. Okay, great. And then there's someone else that called in who's anonymous. Who else is with us?
Is that me? This is Joy.
Yes.
That might be me, Elizabeth,
or Joy.
Okay, good, I got you. Hold on. I'm going to put your names in. Joyce, you're anonymous. Go ahead, Joyce.
That can really resonate with the avoider stuff, so building the awareness and also the breakthrough idea that
yeah.
Larkin mentioned. I'm really just starting to turn toward money right now, so I'm sort of a sponge at this point.
Yeah.
Reading everything and gathering all the information. So I am the person who is going to want that information at the end
yeah.
from you. Really looking to get the structure of what's next for me and really creating a structure around money so that I don't end up where I'm at again.
Great. Good, Joyce. And, you know, and I can tell you're really opening up to this stuff now. I can see it, like, in the calls and on the – and so it's – I think this is going to give you a nice place to start with it.
Yeah.
Great. Good. And Elizabeth, welcome.
Hi.
And
I'm sorry I'm late. I got stuck in a hailstorm.
Oh, well, I'm glad
I'm in
that
France,
you're okay.
And I didn't see that there was such weather on the way.
What would you like to get out of today?
Well, I'm at the sponge point too. Let's see. I keep sort of throughout my life I've evolved from being, I was really a saver early on because I didn't have much of my own money, and then I became a spender as part of like an avoidance technique, and so I keep it depends on where my self-confidence is located and my level of fear about being able to pay bills and stuff. I'm just stepping out again from being an avoider, and I'm seeing the power that you know, getting one's handle, a good handle on one's money gives you, because it's, there's a, as you said in your handout, there is a lot of weight that you carry around when you're afraid to open your bills and you're afraid to answer your phone. And but I think in the last month I've sort of gotten over that, and I feel much more empowered and much less heavy and like I'm walking through a swamp. And so that's where I am now. I think I'm going to try to walk a middle path between spender and saver.
Yeah.
Point. I don't think that I'm a martyr. I do have trouble talking about money or asking to be paid. I've kind of always had that issue. But that's a challenge for me that I need to work on.
Yeah. And we're gonna work on that as well. And I'm gonna talk about the phases of sort of raising your prices and how that all works as well. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. And let me just check on Leslie. Are you there, Leslie? Did you want to talk about what you wanted to get out of today?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay. I've actually started doing a lot of the work that we're going to be doing today on my own. So
yeah.
Basically just to continue to get, you know, clearer on my money beliefs, where they came from, and just, you know, formulating new beliefs around money.
Great. Good. Good, Leslie. And I just want to commend Leslie because I know you've been working on this stuff. And I know it because when Leslie called me to work to be part of the Revenue Breakthrough Program, I know that you were terrified. And there
just
was
a little bit.
Yeah. And I remember Leslie saying to me, and it was about two calls later that, you know, and there was a lot of like, oh, should I do this? Should I not? And then I remember at one point her saying, I have to do this. I have to shift my life. And I know that so much of that, Leslie, this is all coming from you doing this work, and I can see it happening. And the other reason I want to commend you, Leslie, is the more you've done this work, the more honest and open you are. Right? And I can see you putting your questions up, putting yourself out there on the forum, like really working through your stuff. And I just,
right.
It's awesome to see. It's really awesome to see.
Thank you.
Great. Good. So let's go ahead and get started on the first exercise of the day. No matter how many times you'll do this exercise, you're going to find new stuff every time you do it. So, before we start this exercise, let me just give you the outline, because I know some of you, you know, I'm a professor too, so I understand the different styles of learning, and some of you need to know what's going to happen during the day for you to feel comfortable. So between 11 to 12 o'clock, right, we're going to be doing some of the deeper work around understanding money and the roots of money in terms of the exercise. Now, I'm gonna be able to walk through this with you, but you're probably not going to get a chance to actually do it during, you know, before noon. The reason I gave you a lunch break between 12 to 1 o'clock is because what I'd like you to do is do these exercises while you're eating lunch. I know some of you are like, but Monica, I really just want to eat lunch. But I am telling you, if you do them now, you'll actually get them done, versus if you do them later, something else like your family and friends are going to come up tomorrow. So I'd really encourage you to get lunch, sit down, do the exercises. And then, you know, if you want to be superstars about this, I'm going to pair you up. So there's nine of you that are here today. So there's going to be one person that doesn't have a pair, but I'm going to pair you up with somebody else that's going to be on the calls all day. And it would be great is for you to do the exercises from about 12 to 12:30 and then call your buddy and talk to them, right, about what came up for you. So do a paired share. So it's not going to be a paired share that I can control, but a paired share where you guys share with one another. Then from 1 to 1:30, we're going to get back on the phone. It's the same number, same access code, and we're going to go on. We're going to talk about how money does not land in chaos, your necessity, your desired living, and your ideal living workshop or worksheets. And then from 1:30 to 2, you're going to have free time again to create your three numbers in your chart and to go get a credit card statement, right? Part of the reason I'm giving you guys breaks is because you're so busy, I know that, you know, with family, with doing all the stuff for your business, but I wanted you guys to be able to do this stuff today and not just learn it, right? And then from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock, we're going to get back on the phone together, and we're going to talk about how money does not land in chaos. We're going to talk about managing your money, how to deal with debt, how to deal with investments, and how to make decisions around spending. For a lot of you, that stuff's going to be really, really helpful. I know that when I learned it, I was like, why doesn't anybody teach this stuff in school? And I'm going to talk about during that section, you know, for those of you that have debt, I'll go over that, how to manage it. But then most of you who don't, you know, most of you don't have debt or don't need to worry about that. I'm going to talk about how you make decisions about what to spend on your money in your business, and how you clear the clutter around money in your life. So we're going to go over that. And also, just as a word of wisdom here, even if you know this stuff and money is perfect in your life, this is all stuff that you guys are going to have to work with, work on with clients. Now, you know, even if you're doing like health, right? In the beginning, you know, a lot of your clients are going to come to you with money issues, and they're going to tell you, I can't do your programs because I've got debt, or I can't do your programs because I, you know, I've got all this stuff going on in my life. And you are now going to have the tools to be able to walk them through how they get out of their money situations and get into better money situations. So be listening to this with two ears, right? One for yourself, and one to help your clients get through this as well. From 3 to 3:45, we're going to be talking about how money loves to be accumulated. And this is where those of you that are like, I don't know what to charge, I feel like I can't raise my prices, I'm not very good about asking for money, we're going to talk about how to do that. We're going to talk about how to increase your confidence around what you're spending and your prices and your programs. Then you're going to have a 15-minute break from 3:45 to 4 o'clock, and that one's just going to be a regular break. And then from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about your money speedometer, your bold goals, and your money types. That's when we're going to go over the cards that I sent you in the mail. So at some point on one of these breaks, you want to make sure you've collected your money cards so that you have them by that 4 o'clock time. And from 5 o'clock to 5:30, we're just going to do a summary, an aha, and some wrap-up. I'm going to do my very best to get through all the materials in the handout, but we'll see how time goes, and some of it you guys may just need to read and do on your own, but I'm going to try to pack in as much as I possibly can, but I also want you guys to be able to master the material. So I'm going to try to walk a fine line between sharing and learning and having breakthroughs, as well as giving you new information. Okay, so I'm going to put you on interactive again here and just see if there are any questions on logistics. Okay, any questions on logistics? Oh, you're on mute.
Okay.
Yep, okay, go ahead. Oh.
Swift, okay. I didn't get my cards because I left for France over a week ago. So.
Okay. Well, you'll just have to listen, Elizabeth,
okay.
And then take notes, and then you can look at your cards when you get back. It's not a big deal
okay.
Because I've got the charts in the handout, so you have something to look at, but then you'll have to look at your cards when you get back. I didn't have my cards when I first learned this either, and
okay.
It's fine. Any other questions about logistics? Okay, good. And I'm glad that everybody got their cards. Yay. Okay, great. All right, so let's go into lecture again. Let's get started. Okay, so here's the overall outline of our Money Breakthrough Virtual Intensive. There are certain foundations and principles around money that I've kind of come up with over the years. And one of the reasons I like to start it this way is because one of the first steps towards accumulating money, right, is actually making friends with it, right? So I want everybody to just breathe in and think about money and realize and start to befriend it, right? I want you to start thinking about money as a positive energy, because that's really all it is it's a form of energy, an energy exchange, right? I do something for you, you give me money. You do something for someone else, someone does something for you, you give them money, right? It's an energy exchange. And it is an entity. And the more you respect and honor money, right, the more money will come to you, right? So it's a relationship with something, right? So I want you to stop from today onwards doing things like avoiding your bills, or if somebody gives you a check, you put it away, or when you see money come in on your computer, somebody pays you, you don't actually look at it or think about it, right? Because it's time to start exercising honor and respect, right, for every time you receive a check that you say thank you and that you're grateful for it, that every time you get a bill, you say thank you because you are giving money for a service that you received. It's an exchange of energy. That when you find money that you didn't expect, that you honor and respect it, right? That you don't spend money in a way that is disrespectful to the money or to yourself, right? Now, just reframing it as a relationship that you have with this entity, a positive one that you're going to take care of, is the first step towards accumulating more, because so many of us have this really sort of adversarial relationship with money. And so here's some qualities or traits that money likes. It loves to be understood, and the more you understand it, the more you attract it. It does not like to land in chaos. So the more clear and clarity that you have, the more money will land. It loves to be accumulated. Despite whatever's going on in terms of beliefs that you have, it actually loves to be accumulated. The more, the better, because it's an energy, right? It's a positive energy. So the more positive energy, the happier money is. It loves clarity. It really loves clarity. In fact, you know, that's going to be some of the strongest stuff that I teach today is your speedometer and your bold goals, and it loves attention, right? The more attention you give the money in your life, what's coming in and what's going out, the more money you're going to make. Now, it's interesting because I have a lot of pushback usually when I teach that stuff, that money loves attention, because women always say to me, well, if I pay too much attention to the money, then I get stressed out, then I get worried. And what I would say to that, first and foremost, is you got to heal your relationship with it first, right? If it stresses you out and it worries you, then it doesn't sound like you've got a great relationship with money, and we're going to go over that here in a minute. So let's go ahead and go into the first exercise, which is money loves understanding. What you're going to do is you're going to go ahead and do this roots of money exercise. Now, I don't, for the perfectionists and the information gatherers out there, please do not overthink this. No overthinking and no censoring, right? So and those of you who have that know that, right? What you want to do is go ahead and start with the box on the left. And for those of you that have this printed out or are ready to start writing, you can go ahead and get started with me here. And you want to talk about what was money like for you growing up. What did your parents teach you about money? What did your family spend money on? What were the phrases that your family used about money? And here you just want to write down things that came up in your family. I had one client where she remembered that her mom and dad used to always call her Rockefeller's daughter, because whenever she walked into a store, she always picked out the nicest or the most expensive dress, even before she understood what she was doing or, you know, what it was about in terms of buying money. And what that has led her to right now is being super aware of the most expensive stuff. Then you want to go down to the bottom, the box on the left, which is, do you think it is better to do, exchange it? So the box on the bottom left is your present moment about money. So you just want to answer the questions. Do you think it's better to do exchanges rather than charge for services? Do you feel awkward charging friends for services? How do you feel about charging for what you do? Do you expect to be charged when you visit a doctor, a lawyer, or accountant? What about a coach, a healer, or a practitioner? So just go ahead and start answering those questions. Then you want to go out to the box on the right, the top right, which is, do you expect to make money in the future? How much? And what will you do to earn this money? And here I want you to be really honest with yourself, right? So I don't want you to go to the automatic answer here. You know, the automatic answer for all of you is, of course I'm going to make money. I'm going to make lots of money. You know, I'm in this course. It's what I want. I want you to speak to, go into a heart place and ask yourself, do I really believe I'm going to make money? Right? Do I really believe that I can do this? And I want you to be really honest. If the answer is no or maybe or sometimes yes and sometimes no, I want you to write that down, right? Because there's no judgment here. It's just sort of unpeeling the layers, right, of the onion that is you, the beautiful onion that is you. And then on the right bottom box, this is your current feeling about money now. So how do you feel about money now? Friendly, adversarial? Do you have enough money? Do you spend, save, or avoid money? Do you pay your bills on time? So this is really getting a picture of how you deal with money now currently and how it is in your life. And again, you, just for the record, I just want to be clear, I'm not going to see any of this, right? You don't have to share any of it with anyone. I'm not going to cold call people on the phone or blah or any of that. So I want you to really go into heart space and be very honest with what you write down in these questions, because literally all you're doing is just drudging up some of the stuff that you've been carrying around for a while about money. And I want to just talk here about the money legacy. Before I get to your money legacy, I want to talk here about the money type. So in this box on the bottom right of this page, the first page, there's a question here, which is, what money type are you, right? Here it is. It's, do you spend, save, or avoid money, right? Now, I want to just talk about the four different kinds of money types. And this is just helpful in understanding how you see and deal with money. It's helpful to know where you lean in order to know whether you're in a good balance with it or in a bad balance with it. So the first type is spenders. So if you're a spender, you like to spend money, and you usually have pretty high credit card bills. You're prone to spontaneous purchases, and you know what's funny is that you're prone to spontaneous purchases, but you're not often aware of how much money is on your credit cards, right? So you get to the end of the month and you're sort of surprised at all the money that you spent. Now, what's interesting about spenders in this group, and I love this, I often get this, is they'll say to me, I'm a spender, but it's only on good stuff, right? So I spend my money on books, and I spend my money on courses, and I spend my money on school, right? But here's the thing, you guys. If you are a spender, it doesn't matter what you spend your money on. If you're constantly spending more than you're bringing in, if you're not getting a return on your investment, even if it's a course, then you're sort of in an unbalanced spender, right? And the way to know if you are, you know, unbalanced is if your credit card bills, if you're really, you know, unable to pay them within 3 months, or you've taken a bunch of courses but you haven't really gotten a return on your investment, you haven't made money from those courses, then you're probably a spender and you probably need to look at that, right? And also for the record, sometimes spenders have debt, sometimes they don't. Right? So you can, I have a great friend who's a spender, And she manages her spending well. Like, she will spend and spend, but then she will also look and make sure she spends within a certain category. And that's how you start to get a balance there. Type 2 is a saver. So if you're a saver, if you would rather save than spend any money. So this is a person who focuses on saving their money. And for most of you, you're probably thinking, well, it'd be good to be a saver. And it is. For the most part, it's really good to be a saver. When you know you're out of balance with saving is if you've got a lot of money in the bank or you're afraid to look at your money and you're almost, and you're not doing things for yourself. Like, you're living below your means to a point where you're in your self-denial, right? Like, you don't have, you don't spend money on fun things. You're not using it to bring joy into your life. You're almost hoarding your money. Then you've become sort of an unbalanced saver. Type 3 is avoider. So if you're an avoider, and a lot of people who join Revenue Breakthroughs are avoiders, you don't look at your bank accounts at all very often. You get your bills and your credit card statements, and they stay on a pile on your desk. It gets to the point where you have so many bills and credit card statements that you haven't looked at that you start to get scared and overwhelmed, and you stop looking altogether. So it's like a snowball, right, that starts to add up. Most avoiders, if I were to ask you how much money you have in your bank account right now, you couldn't even give me a general number for it, or in your investment accounts or any other accounts. What I would say about avoiders is you are avoiding because you feel like it's doing you some sort of service. You're avoiding because you feel like if you looked at it honestly, you would see things that you don't like. But what I will say is if you're an avoider, you've got the first step of getting better is starting to, like, open up all those bills, look at your account. I know that when I was an avoider, when I, you know, clearly I was an avoider when I racked up all that debt, right? And the way that I started to heal myself and heal my stuff around money is that I started to befriend it and look at it every day, look at every bill that came in, check my account balances. And what's interesting is that once you get over the fear, it becomes like a game. And when you look at your account balances, you start to see that they're rising, and it becomes much more fun. And then the type 4 are the martyrs. The martyr is not really a saver, a spender, or an avoider. They just don't believe they deserve to have any money, right, because they are delivering a service, and they shouldn't have to get paid for it. These are the people that are martyrs for their industry, right? Like, I provide spiritual counseling, and therefore I'm just here to help everybody in the world. And if I raise my prices or even if I charge anything, then I'm not going to really be doing people a service, right? Another kind of martyr is the woman that comes to me and says, you know, I don't really need any money for this. Like, money's just not that important to me, right? Here's the thing. You're in business to make money. And the more money you make, the more people you help, right? So it's being a martyr does not serve the people that you actually work with. Also, what happens if you're a martyr is that you're not taking care of yourself because you're not bringing money in. So if you're not taking care of yourself, all this beautiful energy that you give to people is going to start to diminish. Your light is going to start to get darker because you're not feeding yourself. And then you're going to, at some point, you're just going to start to not be as good at what you're doing because you're not able to take care of yourself. So also, for the record, you can be many of these, right? Like, you can be a combination of a spender and a saver, or an avoider and a saver, or a martyr. Also, for the record, everybody is one of these four types, and you will always be one of the four. And what's interesting is when you get clear, you can figure out when you're backsliding. So, for example, I know that I am an avoider. And I know now, because I've just worked on money to such a degree, that if the money worry starts to crop up into my mind, again, it's usually because I've been avoiding, right? Because I haven't been writing down all the revenue that's coming in, because I haven't been looking at bank accounts, because I'm not really clear about my numbers, about how much money I need to attract, what clients need to bring in, what are my expenses. As soon as I clear it all up, look at all the accounts, get really clear what my goals are, all of a sudden the money worry starts to disappear, right? And the same thing, if you are a spender, right, you'll notice you'll go on spending binges at certain times, and then you'll be like, oh, I'm spending again. I need to pull back, look at my statements, figure out what's really going on. Why am I really spending this money, right? So once you get what type you are, you can sort of get when you're backsliding into a place where you're not in balance with it anymore. And I'll go ahead and I'll let you read the rest of the description on the money types. And I just want to go on to explain the rest of this exercise that we did up here, which is the roots of money exercise. Once you guys fill out those four boxes and you put all your information, in the boxes, what I want you to do is go through and look at the beliefs that your family has given you around money, right? And some of you, I can tell, are already thinking, I know all these beliefs already. Like, I get it, Monica. I watched my mom, whittle away her money. I watched my dad lose his money. I get all this. I want you to put pen to paper. Because no matter how clear it is in your head, I want you to actually do the exercise and write it all out. And then I want you to circle the beliefs that have been given down to you, because there's something really powerful about seeing this on paper. So and what you're going to do today is you're going to heal the legacy. You're going to heal the family legacy that has been passed on to you. And you're going to do that in four steps. So the first step is awareness. The first step is writing down all of the information and then circling what beliefs have been passed on to you that you are still carrying, whether you want to or not, right? No judgment, no criticism. It is what it is, right? And we all still carry our family's beliefs. So I'm first-generation Indian, and my mom and dad came here in the 60s. My father built a company on his own and then sold it when I was in college. So I come from a family of entrepreneurs. But what I carry from him is that nothing is easy, right? That's the belief that I carry, because for him, he worked a lot. He worked hard to build his company. I remember him going in on Saturdays to check mail. I remember going after school, going to his office to wait for him to take me home, right? He worked hard. Now, I never felt like I didn't get enough attention, but I did pick up that crazy work ethic, right? And so one of the beliefs that I carry is, you have to work really, really hard to do really, really well. And it's just not true, right? And it's something that I've been untangling for years, right, with my own coaches, right? And it's interesting now because Revenue Breakthrough is actually doing really well, and I'm working less than I ever have before, right? So I'm the belief is slowly being untangled, but it still is with me. And you guys are going to have the same things that are coming up for you. So awareness is the first step. The second step is forgiveness. So forgiving the person that gave you and created those beliefs, forgiving whatever happened in your family around money, around phrases, around what they said to you. Some of you, that's going to be easier than others, right? If you find that you're somebody that is having a hard time forgiving, right, one thing you may want to do is write a forgiveness letter or do a forgiveness ritual, which means that you would write a letter to your family, right, and forgive them for what they did, or light a candle and forgive, right? Go to a deeper place. So, some of you will just be able to forgive pretty easily. Some of you will need to do more. So the third step of this is permission to let go and adopt your own beliefs. So you want to just stop here and give yourself permission to let go and adopt your own beliefs, right? And just to give you another example here, I have a client who comes from a background she actually is Indian like I am, and she comes from a background where none of the women in her family had powerful jobs, right? For generation after generation, all of the women in her family supported the men in their family, and they had very powerful men in their family. And she literally, when she did this exercise, had to stop and give herself permission to not carry that legacy forward, to literally put that down and become a very powerful woman in her family who might, at this point she was single, so she wasn't sure who she was going to be with, but a very powerful woman who would either be with a man who was just as powerful and successful as she was, or would be with a man who may not be as successful as she was, but was going to be totally turned on by her success. Right? And that was the process of actually doing that. And then the fourth step is stepping into leadership, right? So moving beyond whatever beliefs were handed down to you and creating your own legacy around money, your own belief system. And what I'd like you to do is write down 5 new money beliefs that you are in success beliefs and life beliefs, whatever comes up, that you are carrying forward, that is the legacy that you are now from today onwards going to create for yourself and going to create for everyone in your future that either runs into you, knows you, or is in your family. So, again, first step is doing the exercise. The next step is forgiving. The third step is permission. And the fourth step is leadership and writing down your new beliefs. And what I'd love to hear when we get back on the call is what your ahas are and what beliefs you are creating. Okay, so I'm going to actually keep going and go on to the second exercise because I want you to be able to do both exercises over lunch. The second exercise doesn't require as much explanation either. So once you've established your new money legacy with your family and really unearthed some of the beliefs that are going on for you, it's time to create a new relationship with money. So the way to do this is, again, to follow the worksheet. So I'm on page 7 of 25. I'm sorry that I didn't number the pages for all of you. But it's page 7 if you're looking on a computer. And what you want to write down is the name of a person you admire and love greatly. So start there. Name of a person that you admire and love greatly. And then answer the questions as quickly as possible. So you're going to answer all of these questions. Use top of mind. Don't worry about the answers. The exercise should take you no longer than 10 to 12 minutes. So then you're going to answer the questions of, what are the qualities that describe your relationship? How do you feel about yourself when you think about this relationship? How do you feel about the other person? What do they give you? What do you receive? What do you do in this relationship? In other words, what is your role? What do you ask for? What is it that you know about this other person? What is a metaphor that symbolizes this relationship? What can you count on? Who are you in this relationship? And that's all I want you to do for now. We're going to finish this exercise when you get back to the call. But essentially what you're going to do again is write the name of a person that you admire and love greatly and then answer the questions as quickly as possible about that person and that relationship. So I'm going to put you on interactive again and just make sure that there are no questions about what I just went over or anything that you want to share or talk about. Okay, any questions or thoughts or anything that is unclear before we break here?
Monica, what were the 5, was there 4 steps or 5 steps for the number 1 exercise? Forgive what happened was what number?
Yep, it's on your handout, Doris.
Oh,
right? Yep, it's on the page 4 of your handout. But the first step is awareness. The second step is forgiveness. The third step is permission. And the fourth step is leadership.
And when you
move into leadership, you're going to write your 5 new beliefs that you are now going to carry from this day forward.
Okay.
And I'd love if you guys shared some of those beliefs when we came back on the call. Any other questions?
And when do we have to work with partners and things like that? Or
okay, so let's partner up right now. Karen's joined us. Okay, so if your partner is on, so Doris, who's your partner?
Leslie.
Your regular partner. Leslie? Okay, mm-hmm. So go ahead. So here's the deal. It's 12 o'clock now. We're going to get back on the phone at 1 o'clock. What I'd like you guys to do is eat lunch. And then for the first half an hour of lunch, do the exercises on your own. And then, you know, somewhere between 12:15, 12:30, call your partner and share with them your ahas and your exercise and what came of it and discuss it with them. Now, I just want to make some of your partners aren't on this money breakthrough. So, Doris and Leslie, you're cool. Sue, who's your partner?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Okay, so Sue and Elizabeth, you guys are going to need to figure out how to connect. Elizabeth is in France. So, Elizabeth, can you still connect with Sue?
Yeah, I'll just call her.
Okay, great. Okay, great. Kate, your partner's not here, so just hold on for a minute because you're with Vicky, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. We'll find you someone else. Kai, who's your partner?
Nisha.
Nisha's not here either. She's in Costa Rica. So, Kai, why don't you partner with Kate?
Okay.
Kate, do you want to just say your number for Kai?
Yeah. You ready?
Yep.
413-221-8454.
Okay. You said
413-221-8454?
You got it.
Okay.
Perfect. Great. Larkin, your partner's Joyce, right? So she's here.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Great. So you,
and
you two have each other.
I don't think is on, right?
Nope. Shaniqua's not on.
And I know Linda's not on either, but we're good.
And Leslie, who's your partner? Oh, Doris is Leslie's partner, right?
Right.
Okay, so you guys have got it. And then Karen.
I actually am on, guys.
Oh, is that Shaniqua?
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. So, Shaniqua, do you want to partner with Karen Culpepper?
Oh, yes, okay.
Now, Karen, can you tell Shaniqua your phone number?
Sure. It's 301-313-1860.
Okay.
What? I have 301.
I'm sorry, 18 what?
1860.
1860?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. Now, is there anyone on the call that does not have a partner? Okay. It sounds like everybody has a partner. Good. So, you know what to do, and I will, it's the same number. I will talk to you all again at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Monica.